Welcome to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. My name is Art Bennett, and I'm your host. On Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, we explore the issues related to raising families, improving our mental health, and integrating the principles of psychology with the Catholic understanding of the human person. Our topic today is intimacy ghosts, the fears and anxieties which hinder intimacy. And we have the right person to talk about this. It's Dr. Lisa Klawicki is back with us again. I'll tell you a little bit about Lisa. She earned her doctorate of philosophy degree in clinical psychology and a master's degree in theology, both from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. She's a licensed clinical psychologist and has extensive experience with youth and adults around issues of relationships, marriage and family life through the integration of sound psychology and reliable theology. Currently, Dr. Klawicki has a private practice conducting psychotherapy with adults and is a professor at the Institute of the Psychological Sciences in Arlington, Virginia. Welcome back, Lisa Klawicki. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, you're always one to take on the tough issues. That's why we like to have you here. When you were with us before, you talked a little bit about intimacy, and maybe that's the place to start, because you're going to tell us about the fears and anxieties which hinder intimacy.
Right.
But I think we need to explain to our audience how critical this is and how we kind of restrict our notion of it so we can understand why it's important enough to overcome those fears and anxieties.
Yes. Intimacy is one of the basic human needs. God created us to be in relationship to each other. He said it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he created for him a suitable partner, being woman, signifying the importance of the need for relationship. There's also a number of psychological studies that have been done showing the importance of relationship, importance of interaction with another being. And especially in an intimate way. And intimacy here, by intimacy, we mean an unconditional love that's both given and received.
I think it's at least important to highlight that, because I think a lot of us, not just males, but maybe more males, think of our true self, our authentic self, is the self kind of alone, mm-hmm. the person thinking about life. And then we make a series of compromises, and we kind of are not our true self when we're with others. But you're kind of saying that it's critical to be in relationship, and that's when we're most our real self. Is that right?
Absolutely. That is. We learn about ourselves from each other and from the interactions we have with each other. We actually develop and become better human beings the more we're in relationship to others.
And intimacy is one of the key aspects of doing that. So what do we mean by intimacy? What does that mean? Because it's a kind of term where one might say, well, I mean, I can see I need to be intimate with my spouse, but with anybody else?
Exactly. With lots of other people.
Lots of other people, really?
Really.
Okay, well.
Well, let me tell you what kinds of intimacy.
Yes, clarify,
let's
please.
Let's clarify that a bit. There are six different types of intimacy, and here, unfortunately, we often restrict the notion of intimacy to physical intimacy, and even one subset of physical intimacy. We often reduce it down to sexual intimacy, and it's more important for us to see the broader spectrum of intimacy, that there's emotional intimacy, in which we exchange meaningful ideas around, or not meaningful ideas, but exchange of feelings mm-hmm. and emotions, experiences, social intimacy, where we have friends, and intellectual intimacy, where we share ideas and have jobs and careers together, recreational intimacy, where we engage in hobbies or sports together. This is one that is particularly important, and we often saw a lot growing up, perhaps even our grandparents and great-grandparents, where the women would sit around in quilting bees or in mm-hmm. sewing circles, or they would get together to bake or to cook, that was a form of recreational intimacy. And men would often play together, plow fields together, that kind of thing. Now mm-hmm. we have men go to their sports bars, right? That's a recreational intimacy. With a few drinks, they can probably be a little emotional intimate too. Uh-huh. But that idea of gathering together around a recreational topic. Physical intimacy here is affection and physical contact. Even things like holding hands or having your arm around each other or hugging. Especially with children, it's so important for people to be physically contact, to have physical contact with their children. Tickling kids, they love it, especially little kids. More.
Yeah.
They just want that physicalness. They want to come and sit in your lap while you read a book, those kinds of things. And then there's spiritual intimacy, and spiritual intimacy overlays all of the other five intimacies. That all of the other five intimacies really involve some form of spiritual intimacy as well, especially when we're engaging in those things with people of the same faith, that share the same ideas, share the same goals, virtues, values, that kind of thing.
Well, give me an example. Let's say I'm having an intellectual discussion with somebody. We're talking about the ideas of the day. How does spiritual intimacy enter into that kind of conversation, or that kind of relationship?
Right. hopefully your spiritual intimacy is something that pervades your life. And that's what the research showed. There was a research study that was done thinking that spiritual intimacy was, in fact, a separate form of intimacy, and a dissertation done fairly recently showed that it is not, that it's actually so much a part of who we are that it then filters out into all of the other forms of intimacy. And here, what basically our spiritual intimacy starts off with the notion that all human beings deserve respect and have dignity. And so the way we interact with each other is going to make a difference.
Right? So if I bring respect to all encounters,
that's right,
all relationships,
that's right,
all opportunities for intimacy, that's where I'm showing, let's say, my soul, my spirit is coming out in those things. So it's not just when I'm on my knees at prayer or at Mass that I'm being, quote, spiritual. In all my encounters, I have the opportunity of bringing Christ into the relationship and seeing the other person as a genuine person.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, one could say, well, you know, I talk to my wife about what's on her mind, or I talk to my husband what's bothering him. My goodness gracious, he's grumpy enough. He tells me what's bothering him. I have friends. I talk about ideas. I take my kids to hockey games and soccer games, and I even run every once in a while, and I go to Mass. What am I missing? I'm doing all those things. What's this intimacy stuff?
Right. The intimacy stuff is the meaningful exchange in that. It's the unconditional love is both given and received. It's not just enough to play sports, or it's not just enough to stand in Mass together. Uh-huh. But are you there because you care about the other being that you're with? Mm. Are you there because you want to grow as a human being, and you want to be a part of their growth as well?
So it's bringing in a relation. It's not just relating or exchanging ideas or exchanging impressions or having chance encounters and hi, how you doing kind of stuff.
Right.
It's really seeing the other person in a deeper sense. That's what you meant by the depth of intimacy?
That's right. It's a deep, meaningful exchange. There has to be something to hold on to. You need to walk away feeling like, you know, I just interacted with a person.
Something really happened here other than just an exchange of information.
Exactly.
Because that is a tremendous temptation in our culture. When you were here before about the consumer culture we're in. We tend to look at people as things that give us what we want, whether it be pleasure or information, and sometimes that's about it.
That's right. And that's unfortunate, because that's certainly not the way God created us, and that leaves us unfulfilled. We're always wanting more and more and more.
Right. Well, this is very interesting. So now that you've talked to us about intimacy, I think we can talk about what are some of the things that hinder us from seeing it as an important part of our life, or some of the anxieties that it presents to us. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, sponsored by the Alpha Omega Clinic and Consulting Services. We're talking to our guest today, Dr. Lisa Klawicki. The topic is fears and anxieties which hinder intimacy. We're calling this Intimacy Ghosts. This is Art Bennett, your host. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. This is Art Bennett. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. Our goal on Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls is to offer you practical advice from Catholic mental health professionals and special guests of the Alpha Omega Clinical and Consulting Services. Today we're talking about intimacy ghosts, the fears and anxieties which hinder intimacy, and our special guest is Dr. Lisa Klawicki. Lisa, all right, we've talked about intimacy. You've clearly shown that it's not just way our culture kind of restricts it just to sexuality, and of course that would cause us to not want to be focused on it with other people. Branched it out that it's, and I think this is important to highlight, it's not only is it broader than we might have thought, that is, that it provides a lot of opportunities for deeper relationships with a lot of people, but you've also argued that it's a necessary thing. It's not just a nice thing, it's not just something we should do when we have free time, but it's a necessary part of our lives. But there are obstacles, and even when we understand what intimacy is, it's more than just sexuality, there are things in the way. So can we talk a little bit about what are some of the fears that people have about being intimate?
Right. We kind of get ourselves stuck. We need intimacy. It's absolutely essential for life. We find that babies who do not have intimacy, babies who are just merely cared for and aren't held and in relationship, die. And so it's essential, but at the same time, it's so essential that we fear it. And one of the biggest fears of intimacy is being exposed, that fear of being exposed, the fear that if I let down my mask, someone's going to actually see behind it. Someone will see who I really am. And the second fear that goes along with that is if they see who I really am, they won't like it. We often don't like things in ourselves. We don't like to see them ourselves. And if someone else sees them, that's even worse.
So if you see who I really am, you'll reject me or tire of me.
and not want to be around me, so if I can hide that from you, keep that under wraps, then the likelihood of an ongoing relationship is higher.
Is higher.
But correct. Actually, we're probably setting ourselves up for disappointment. Is that right?
That's right, because that relationship is going to be superficial. It's not going to move anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. It's going to become stagnant very quick.
Well, then on that, if we have stagnant relationships, is that one of the places to look? Am I hiding stuff from my cohort or partner or spouse or son or daughter? Is that maybe why I'm stuck? Is that one of the first places to look?
It is. It is when you're feeling stuck. The other place to look is, when you're feeling stuck, basically, when it doesn't feel like you're getting what you need, when it feels like you're doing more and more consumer kinds of activities in order to meet the need. I'm on the computer more and more. I'm playing games, computer games more and more. I'm reading more and more. I'm doing solitary things more and more. I'm going out and shopping and buying more and more in order to try to fill that need. I'm eating more and more.
Consuming.
Exactly. I'm consuming the world to fill my intimacy needs. And yet the more you consume, the less, the more you feel bad about yourself.
So this is all the things that kind of contribute to the superficiality of many relationships, I guess.
That's right.
But talking about the mask, isn't there some prudence involved in what you disclose to people at what time? I mean, I could imagine there are things I might disclose to my 16 or 17-year-old child that I may not want to necessarily disclose to my neighbor or whatever. I mean, all right, let's say the goal is to be authentic, open and clean.
That's right.
That's kind of a scary thing.
That's right.
What kind of a judgment would a person have if the goal is to be authentic on timing for this, of disclosure of the dark side?
Yes, that wonderful virtue of prudence, temperance, moderation, right?
And courage, right?
And courage, exactly. Right. You always want to look and see where is it, who needs to know what.
Mm-hmm.
Not just on a need-to-know basis, but also on a desire for intimacy. We desire a different level of intimacy with our neighbor than we do with our child. And we desire different levels of intimacy, different kinds of intimacy with our 2-year-old versus our 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so there again, the idea is you always want to be prudent. You don't just want to say everything that comes to your mind. That's not intimacy at all. In fact, a lot of people use that as a way to avoid intimacy. Well, if I annoy them enough, They'll keep their distance.
I'll tell them what I'm really like. They'll never talk to me again, and that just shows that that's not a good person for me. So
that's
there.
Right.
Okay. So you
that's
can right. say sometimes lowering the mask can be a way to really display that there are anxieties about intimacy. That is, imprudently just throwing all your stuff at people scares them away.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
so there has to be some judgment about this. But is the general model, Dr. Kluke, as I get to know you, and as you get to know me, I really want you to know who I am, so let me tell you more things about myself, and some of them
that's right. You want to have a progression. You want
progression,
to move from somewhat of a superficial relationship, although one that's true. You don't want to put on a false self. You don't want to become somebody that you're not in order to engage in relationship. Right, but at the same time, you want to start at a superficial level, and relationships gradually move, and they get deeper and deeper, where you share more and more things. I mean, even within your marriage, you've been married for a number of years, and certainly longer than I have, and I think if you looked at our relationships, what I share in my marriage is probably a little bit less than what you share in your marriage, just because you've had a longer period of time with your wife, and so you've had more experiences, you've had more opportunities, you've been through more things and more trials and crises. And so as we get to know people, we start to give more and more and more of ourselves and of our true selves. We let down our mask more and more.
So as the time goes on, as our relationships extend in time, they should also deepen with more personal disclosures.
That's right.
That's right. That's very interesting.
That's right. That's right.
Now, but you said earlier, though, that one of the reasons we wear the mask
is
not just because it's Mardi Gras time and we're trying to be put on that happy face all the time. It's because we're afraid of being rejected. Is this one of the key areas that we have to explore in our lives if we find ourselves settling for, superficiality?
Yes. Yeah. We fear being rejected. We fear that we don't like ourselves. We don't like to see our own faults and our own sins. And so we certainly don't want someone else to see them. Part of why we have so much difficulty in being intimate is not just because we don't want other people to see them, but we don't want to truly see them ourselves. I don't want to look and see who I am. And so if I don't allow you to see me, then I don't have to see me either.
Hmm.
You see, because if I allow you to see me, then you might actually reflect to me what it is you see.
So you're kind of pointing out there's double, if I can use this word, double obstacles here. It's not only that I'm uncomfortable if you see what I'm like, but then I really have to kind of face it myself, too.
That's right.
That maybe I have a worse temper than I thought I had.
That's
or maybe
right.
I'm not as generous as I thought I had. And I have an image of myself as being very generous, but gosh, now that I'm getting to know you and you're getting to know me, I find out that, wow, I don't always call back when I say I'm going to. I'm not going to come on time.
That's right.
I don't always thank you for the gifts you've given me. And then we start looking at that, and that's painful for me to see myself that way.
That's right. That's right. The other fears we have are being engulfed by the other person. We don't want them to take us over. If they know us, they can take us over. Or the fear that we're going to be abandoned, that they're going to leave us. We are going to start building this relationship, divulging who we are, and they're just going to leave.
So our intuitions are, if you really know who I am, you'll probably reject me. But you're actually saying if we really let people know who we really are, actually then our relationships can deepen and grow.
That's right.
All right. Well, we're going to have to get into some more of these anxieties that surround intimacy. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. Our guest today is Dr. Lisa Klawicki. My name is Art Bennett, your host. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. This is Art Bennett. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. Our guest today is Dr. Lisa Klawicki. And our topic, intimacy ghosts, fears and anxieties which hinder intimacy. Well, Lisa, I think you've done a great job of telling us about, well, the importance of intimacy. Because if intimacy isn't important, then who cares about these fears and obstacles? I'll just go do something else. So I think that's important that you kind of, if I've heard you correctly, you've said, we must be intimate to really be ourselves and to have the rich life that God has promised for us. If we live a life without intimacy, then we live a life that's superficial and shallow and miserable. But there are obstacles to it. You've talked a little bit about the mask we're tempted to wear, because with that mask, you can't see who I'm really like.
That's right.
And if you saw that, you might abandon me. And besides, I don't want to see it either. So
exactly.
You've talked about that. On the other hand, the only way to really get close to people, have good relationships, is to be willing to drop the mask at the appropriate time and to see ourselves as we really are.
That's correct.
Well, what are some of the other, when we talked about the fears, what are the anxieties about being intimate?
Yeah, those anxieties come from our fears. The more we fear something, the more anxious we become around another being. One of the key ways of discerning whether you're actually fear, if there's an intimacy fear, is whether you're becoming anxious. Are you around somebody that you're feeling unsettled with, feeling like you always have to watch what you do or watch what you say? Chances are there's a fear of intimacy that's creeping up there. And so that's a way that the level of anxiety tells us the extent to which the fear is present. The more anxious we feel,
mm-hmm.
the more unsettled we feel, the chances are the greater the fear is that's underneath that.
Well, let's say we're trying to get closer to somebody, but we sense that they feel anxious about that.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? I mean, being less judgmental, is that what people are fearing? They're fearing my judgment or abandonment, is that right?
They're fearing your judgment more than anything else, and mm-hmm. then from that judgment comes the ability to be rejected, the ability to be abandoned, the ability to be destroyed. Right. And so the less judgmental you are, the more unconditional your love can be, the more you will encourage and enhance someone's ability to be intimate.
So this is, of course, in Christianity, we talk about, you know, loving the sinner, not being wild about the sin.
Right.
This is where we really need to focus on letting our friend, who's going to show us his or her weaknesses, as I show mine,
mm-hmm.
that we really, like you said, unconditional. Do we really do care about each other despite our foibles, or maybe sometimes even because of our foibles?
Exactly.
How do we do that, though? How can we show someone that I'm interested in you, not just interested in criticizing you? And I'm thinking sometimes the relationship between parents and teenagers in particular.
Right.
It's just that they always throw so much stuff at you, just love to criticize, and which just pushes them away and makes it more difficult. How can we enhance a relationship and put judgmental attitudes aside?
The best way to do that is to actually become more intimate yourself. We tend to criticize and judge others when we're feeling less secure. The less secure we are, the more fear we have around intimacy, the easier it is to then criticize other people for all of their little idiosyncrasies.
Ah.
And so if you're feeling like, oh, here's somebody that I want to help and I don't know how to help them, first thing to do is look at yourself.
So when we do our examination of conscience at night, you're bringing up even another category of what are the things about myself I'm afraid of, because
right.
you're saying those are the things I'm going to throw at others.
That's right.
Oh, I see. Right. Interesting. Okay, so self-awareness.
Self-awareness is the first thing. To be able to acknowledge and even be able to label some of those fears is the first thing you want to do in being able to overcome the fears. The next thing you want to do in that is to dialogue about those fears. If it's unsafe to dialogue with another human being, start journaling about them.
Writing
them down. Uh-huh. Keep a journal. Share those fears with God. Right? He's ultimately the most intimate of beings, so intimate in which, you know, he actually created us. Why? To love him. And so to share that with God. One of the other things to do is to look at your prayer life and your spiritual life, because it parallels your life with other human beings.
Uh-huh.
The deeper your prayer life is, the more intimate you can be with God, the more intimate you can be with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The more intimate you are with other people, the more intimate you can be with God. So sometimes it's not always safe to practice that intimacy, to kind of go to the next level of intimacy with another person, because they could reject you, they could abandon you. Try going to that next level of intimacy with God,
mm-hmm.
with your Lord, alone in a chapel. And you're not only not alone. You, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity are right there with you.
And you mentioned earlier, if there's something I dislike in myself, one of the problems about disclosing it to you is I become even more aware of it, and maybe even more unsettling. So you're talking about bringing, I guess it would make sense, just as we're talking about being intimate with people in our lives, and
sure.
We should be more intimate with God, and not just, because you can imagine a superficiality there, just maybe rote prayers,
sure.
and just knocking off some night prayers and morning prayers and hardly giving any thought to it. That could be superficial as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It can.
So, deepening our lives, overcoming superficiality, it's necessary to have deeper relationship. Is that the way to overcome a superficial life? Because so many people today find, wow, I'm busy, I'm doing stuff, I'm making money, and right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why am I not happy? Why are my relationships not better?
That's right. You're not happy because you're looking for that love and intimacy and, to coin the phrase, all the wrong places.
Right.
Right? To start looking for those in relationship as opposed to in things. And to bring it to God, to really work on deepening relationship with God. Meditation is the one key thing, and I will tell my patients over and over and over again, you've got to be meditating. You've got to be just sitting and focusing on the Lord, even if it's for 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. Just sit before the Lord, and that's going to increase your capacity to love others.
You talk a little bit clearer about what you mean by meditation. I gather it doesn't mean sitting in a lotus position with your eyes shut necessarily. What do you mean by meditation?
By meditation, I mean being quiet before the Lord, unspoken prayer. Just sitting before the Lord. Now, the rosary is wonderful and beautiful. The Mass is wonderful and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But those are prayers that come from our heart as well as from our head and our voice. But just sitting with your heart, with God.
So there's a parallel process here, I gather.
Yes.
That we need to be more intimate with Christ, who wants us to be intimate with others.
Right.
And by letting our Mass down with
right.
Him, by not worrying about His judgment of us, this will allow us to be more open with ourselves, which will in turn allow us then to transfer some of those skills and that approach to other people and deepen our lives.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you've really done a good job of telling us how intimacy has been restricted in our culture, and we can really see if it's restricted just to sexual activity, we're really missing out on a lot of richness in life. I mean, we really are putting ourselves in a box that will make us very unhappy.
Yes, we will. Yep. We definitely need to broaden our idea of intimacy and broaden our needs.
And you've also pointed out some of the obstacles we can anticipate, both anxieties and fears. And I guess we have to make a decision ourselves. Is this important enough to work on and overcome our anxieties and fears so we can have deeper relationships not only with other people, but also with God? Lisa, thank you very much for coming here. I appreciate it. We'll have to have you come back again to deal with these tough topics that you tend to specialize in.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure being here.
All right. You've been listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, sponsored by the Alpha Omega Clinic and Consulting Services. This is your host, Art Bennett. Please join us again next time.